you hear me? All right. So I'll wait on that. Is that too loud? Okay. That sounds like a personal problem to me. No. I know. So first of all, thank everyone for being here today. It's a little out of my comfort zone, but I'm excited. Oh, let me go grab something. Mom? This was Mom's number one recommendation. Bring water. So thank you, Mom. I called my uncle the other day, Pastor Hall, because I was saying, you know, I call him Poppy. So I was saying, oh, Poppy, like, oh, I've got to preach, and I'm a little bit nervous and I'm excited. And he said, you know, don't worry, babe. The Lord has set the table. He has called the guest, and he's prepared the food. So you just serve the food. And so I pray that today that I can serve the food without tripping or stumbling too much. So, what is humanity? It is the single most thing that bounds us together. It's the ability to love, show compassion, be creative, understanding, generous, and sympathetic. It's what makes us who we are, human. I did old school too. Paper and pen. So let's turn to Hebrews. This is a very interesting book. And Hebrews is in the New Testament. It's between Philemon and James, I believe. So let me tell you a little bit about Hebrews. This was a time where Jesus has died and resurrected, and the Jews were coming into this new form of religion called Christianity. So they were Christian Jews. But they were still consumed with their old rituals and practices of being Jewish, which makes sense because that's what they knew for years and years. But during this time when Jesus came and died and rose again, the new view of Jewish Christians was kind of a scary thing. It was leaving the old and accepting the new. It was being persecuted because the old Jews didn't like the new Jews, like, you know. So this was a time where the author of Hebrews was really reaching out to the Jewish people about the new covenant. I know many of you have been in Pastor Hall's Bible study. So not only do we read a book 13 billion times, he also talks about allowing the author to speak to us, to show us the purpose of that book, not just to read and say, oh, great, that was a good book, next, but really to allow the author to speak his truth through the Lord. So the Hebrews book, the author shows, we don't know who the author is, and really at this point, it doesn't matter who the author is, but he shows the audience, the Jewish people, how Jesus is the new covenant through his deity and his humanity. His deity, Son of God, and his humanity, Son of Man. Water break. So I'm going to give you some verses throughout Hebrews. And Hebrews is a pretty, you know, not super long book. So I'm going to give you guys the chapters and the verses, but I'm just going to kind of pinpoint those points of humanity that the author points out. So if you can, take them down so in your own leisure you can read them fully in their whole context. So Hebrews chapter 2, 14 through 18. The children have flesh and blood. He too shared in their humanity. This shows us that Jesus is actual flesh and blood, just like you and me. He helps Abraham's descendants, the people. Therefore, he had to be made like his brothers in every way. He points out that it's Abraham's descendants because, again, he's talking to the Jewish people. And because that Jesus was made just like his brothers in every way, He experienced life just like we did. So his 30 plus years were no different than, well, somewhat different, but no different in terms of how we live our lives and how we experience life. He himself suffered when he was tempted. He is able to help those who are being tempted. This tells me right here that he's human because that he's relatable. He can relate to us and what we go through. Hebrews 4, 14 through 16. He is able to sympathize with our weaknesses because he too was tempted in every way, just as we are, yet without sin. So Jesus understands that struggle, that time that we're tempted with our own personal sins. He knows what that's like. We don't have to push him away or hide or act like everything's great. He knows what that struggle is like. So he wants us to seek him. Hebrews 7, 23 through 27. He is able to completely save those who come to God through him, because he is always living and interceding for us. So again, we see here that Jesus understands our struggles. He can speak on our behalf. You can't do that if you don't understand, if you can't relate to someone. You can't speak on their behalf. That shows us his humanity. Hebrews 9, 11 through 28. So with this one is really special because Hebrews 9 is like scattered with his humanity. So I'm going to read some points and then wrap that point up at the end. So we have Hebrews 9, 11 through 28. But he entered the most holy place once and for all by his own blood. Now that he has died as a ransom to set them free from the sins committed, now he has appeared once and for all at the end of the ages to do away with sin by the sacrifice of himself. Jesus was sacrificed once to take away the sins of the people. So this shows you in Hebrews 9 that Jesus bled and felt physical pain just as we do. And it's very poignant what it talks about the sacrifice of Jesus connected to his humanity. Hebrews 10, 5 through 10. Jesus said, "Sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but a body you prepared for me." By Jesus' will, we have been made holy through the sacrifice of the body of Jesus Christ once and for all. Those two show not only was Jesus flesh and blood, but he had a physical body that they could touch, they could hug, they can feel. There's his humanity. Lastly, out of Hebrews, Hebrews 12, 1 through 4. Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who himself endured the cross. He endured the cross. It showed during this time how Jesus was ridiculed. He was embarrassed. He was beat. He went through physical, grueling pain on our behalf. Not for the animals, not for the sky, not for the birds. Us, his people. He did this to honor his Father. Not only did the Lord come as human flesh to show his frailty and his humanity for us, he did this in his obedience to our Father. He did this because he loved God that much that he would give of himself, not just for you and me, but the obedience, the faithfulness he had in God the Father. And he did this through his humanity. It is not by accident that Jesus came to us in human flesh. It is very important. It was necessary for him to be human flesh. Throughout the whole book of Hebrews, the author is comparing and contrasting Jesus, who's the new covenant, from the old covenant. And this is not an easy thing to do because of during that time what was going on, as I shared before. But he so poignantly shows it, that we established the old. God established the old covenant. And he was bringing forth the new covenant in flesh and blood for us. If you know anything about the Old Testament, which I'm sure many of us do, you know that the high priest had to come in, but before he came in, he had to sacrifice blood, sprinkle it on himself, sprinkle it on the altar, and then he spoke about forgiving the sins of the people. So first he had to ask for forgiveness for himself, then for the people. That was the old covenant. Then here comes Jesus. Jesus in flesh and blood. He comes to earth. He lives as a man. He hungers. He thirsts. He's saddened at the loss of a friend. He feels everything we feel. There's no getting around it. He struggles with temptation and he fights against it because of his love for his Father. And because of that, his humanity is perfect. Perfect. It shows that Jesus is superior, superior in his humanity. And because he's superior in his humanity, he's superior above all things. There's not one thing above him. And in Hebrews, it talks about that. God didn't say his angel. He sent his son. Jesus is above angels in heaven. You can't tell me that's not important. Through Jesus' perfect humanity, his life on earth without a single sinful thought, feeling, word, or action speaks volumes. I can't go a week without thinking something about somebody, maybe. Or maybe, you know, lying. It could be something as simple. But the point is, there's not a day in my life that I am without sin. But Jesus, not a single thought, not a single word, not a single action was sinful. Jesus, therefore, becomes the ultimate sacrifice for our sins. No more blood of goats and lambs. We have the eternal blood and sacrifice of Jesus Christ. As my dad once shared in a sermon about Jesus being the vine, he said that God's divine plan was brought to reality in the person of Jesus. This was God's plan from the beginning of time. And Jesus was there in this planning, in Genesis, not after. He was there with God. He knew what his role was and how important it was to please our Father. So God's divine plan was brought in reality by the person of Jesus Christ. This means Jesus was the faithful, and he died for the unfaithful. He was the righteous and died for the unrighteous. He was the sinless and died for the sinner. Without Jesus' perfect humanity, there is no death and resurrection. There's no point. There would be no new covenant. We would still be in the old covenant. But his humanity was necessary in his death. It connects us. It breaks down the veil between us and God. He does it. He brings us closer. He mediates for us. He intercedes for us. He tells his Father how much he loves us because he's been through it. There's no other. And that's one reason why I love Hebrews so much. Because the author's kind of like, I'm going to punk everybody in this book. I'm going to show them clear as day. There's no other God. There's only one God. His name is Jesus. I'm sorry, it's not Allah, it's not Buddha, it's not Krishna. It is Jesus, the only God who has come and gave his life for us. There's no other God who can say they have come and given their life for us. There's but one God. for you and for me, for my children, for my father who's with him now, for all of us, because he loved us. And he was that perfect sacrifice. He gave of himself. These other gods talk about, what can you do for me? Serve me, give me. No, no, that's not what it's about. It is about a relationship with the Jesus who knows what it's like to go through what we go through. It is about Jesus who's there to serve us. It is about Jesus who shed his own blood and said, it is finished. He completed God's plan for him. There's no other way to look around it. There's no like, well, all religions are good and you know, they're perfect, they're great, you know, we just have to be kind. No. And the Hebrews book talks about it plain as day by showing how Jesus is superior, not only to the old covenant, but to all. He is superior in all things. Now, this went a lot quicker than I thought. I guess I should have timed myself, Julie. You offered to let me do my sermon for you so you can time it. I'll take you up on that next time. But I want to share with you a video that touched my heart. And it's not this video, although write this down because I wanted to show this. And it's a song, especially for my nieces and my nephews. There's some good Christian rap out there, and it goes by the word, and it's good. So Lecrae is one of them. He's one of my favorites. But I want to show you a video calling Loving Jesus Like Barabbas. Let's see if I can. I don't know why I don't hear it, so hold on 1 second. Okay, let me see if I can. So it's showing up, but we're not hearing it. I'm trying to pause it. Does anyone know how to do the volume? It's showing it, but my phone is up. Oh, that would be. Thanks, Mom. That's good, Mom, because it's going to. Thank you. That's still, that's weird. I'm connected because I did this. In, right? Do you want it in? Sorry. All right, so it's back to out. Let's see. I got it to work last week when I was practicing.
We see the story of Jesus going to the cross, and everything seems to kind of be hand in hand.
Hebrews all the way up on this? Well, I could, oops. Yes, that is true, but then you won't, I can't, if so, for some reason it'll play, but then the sound cuts off on here, on my phone, because I want you to see it, but, sure, absolutely. Let me, let me X out of it so it's not on there.
YouTube.
Yes, it's YouTube. The one on YouTube. Mom, do you have a YouTube link on here?
Oops. I'll click under YouTube.
In or out? It's out. Yeah. Well, you know what? We can, I can do the volume from my phone and show it on your phone.
We see the story of Jesus going to the cross and everything seems to kind of be hand in hand. And then there's this one character that seems to interrupt the narrative. His name's Barabbas. We don't even know much about him except he's a murderer, a leader of an insurrection, a rebel. And why he's even mentioned, sometimes I'm not so sure. It's like, what? Let's...
Let me just rewind.
So in this moment, We see the story of Jesus going to the cross, and everything seems to kind of be hand in hand. And then there's this one character that seems to interrupt the narrative. His name's Barabbas. We don't even know much about him except that he's a murderer, a leader of an insurrection, a rebel. And why he's even mentioned, sometimes I'm not so sure. It's like, what? This is about Jesus going to the cross. So in this moment, Pilate thinks, I hold the destinies of these two men in my hand. I know the Jews have a tradition that on a holy day, I will release one of the prisoners on death row. Pilate stands on this audacious stage, who now presents Jesus, Son of the Living God, versus Barabbas, the thug and rebel. He says, all right, who do you want? This is blasphemy. This has gone too far. There's no comparison. This is a rightful prisoner, a man who should be on death row. He's a rebel against Rome. He leads a rebellion. He murders people. He's a bad man. He's a thug and he's a crook. He deserves the chains and he deserves the crucifixion. Jesus, what has he done but heal, restore, deliver, set free, open blind eyes, open deaf ears, heal the lame and the leper? What has Jesus done? Who do you want? We want Barabbas. Yeah. Give us Barabbas. People say, give us Barabbas. The Roman soldiers come up and they put the key in and they unlock Barabbas from his chains and shackles, and he walks down the platform, welcomed by all of his thug friends. Yeah, the people love me. Yeah, that's right. I don't even know who this Jesus guy is. But all I know is my people love me. There seems to be no conscience in Barabbas. There's no record of him turning to Jesus and saying, I owe you everything now. You have set me free. No, I don't see any of that in Barabbas. And God knew that. Jesus stood there, silent, for he knew the will of the Father. He said, it's fine, Father. Let him have Barabbas. For Jesus knew that the Father would have to treat Jesus like Barabbas so he could treat Barabbas like Jesus. Barabbas thought it was the people that set him free. No, 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 no. It was the love of the Heavenly Father. When I look at the story, I realize who Barabbas really is. That's me. That's you. That's us. And I felt, I was reading this the other day, and I felt God speak to me. I love Barabbas. I love him. Grace, but now that I'm in this deep, dark place of bondage, I better work hard to get myself out. What? That's the opposite of the gospel. Are you bound? Are you held under the power of this temptation, this sin, the sexual urges? Do you feel like it's controlling you? What are you going to do? I'm going to shake myself free. Stop it! Of hell and the urges of play church games. We can pretend like some people are better than others and that's why they're blessed, or we can all come to the honest conclusion that it's God. And it's God alone. The greatest challenge is not your discipline, your devotion, your focus. Your greatest challenge is believing the gospel. Could it be that there's a God with a love so scandalous, so wide, so deep, so vast, so high, so expansive, so welcoming, so inclusive? Let me have your sin, son. Okay. When I give him my sin, I stand in this empty space of forgiveness and acceptance while Jesus walks off to the cross that I deserve. I see him walking to the post to be whipped. As I stand a free man, all the attention is turned now. And I feel the love of God saying, go, son, live your life. I'll pay the price. Where did we get off thinking that we were gonna set ourselves free? It's still Jesus. It'll always be Jesus. It'll never stop being the power of Jesus. If his blood is sufficient for your salvation, his blood is sufficient to sustain you through every challenge and every sin and every temptation. Jesus is enough.
Gets me. Thanks, Mom. Jesus is enough. He was that ultimate sacrifice for you and for me. And I give him praise and thanks for that. We're going to close in prayer, and I thank you for being patient with the technical stuff. Dear Lord, we just want to thank you for this day. I thank you, Lord, for this opportunity, for getting me out of my comfort zone, for calling me, and I thank you for my obedience. I pray that I was able to touch some hearts today, Lord, and that we can come together as a congregation and seek your will for our church and for our individual lives. Just praying right now, Lord, that if there's anyone who has not received you, that they can raise their hand and talk to one of us at the end. Lord, you are the perfect sacrifice. I thank you for giving us your Son and his willingness to die on the cross because of his faithfulness to you, Lord, and for the love he had for us. We just pray in your name, Lord, that you bring us together again here next Sunday. You bring folks here on Tuesday for men's grace group, on Monday for women's prayer group, for Thursday for Bible study, Lord. Help us to envelop our lives with you, Lord, not just on Sundays. Day by day, moment by moment, let us not forgive your sacrifice. In Jesus' name I pray. Come now. Amen.
Russ, you wanted to come up?
I love you. I'm surrogate family. I can get away with this.